That's really, really important. Honoring the military is important. There's been so many men and women in our family who've participated in the armed services. And we've had people in our family, even a few years ago, very recently, who have lost their lives as a result of what they saw in the war. And so today, it's one of those things to remember those who've gone before. And the last couple of years, I don't know how you guys have felt, but for me, it feels like we're always seeing war on our phones and our TVs. Anyone else feel that way? Constantly, we're reminded about what's happening. We see the Russian invasion, it's been very bit close to home of the Ukraine, is suddenly in Europe. And then the last few weeks, when we've seen what's happened across in the Middle East and Israel and Palestine. And it feels worse this time, I think partly because of the fact that it's all in our face and different people accusing different people, and we don't actually know sometimes what to believe, do we? With all the deep fake stuff that's going on. And we're trying to figure out, where's God in all of this? And it's really hard, these questions, asking sort of questions. You know, I've currently researched it beforehand, and I currently discovered that there is 32 conflicts happening at the moment somewhere in the world. I'm going to quickly find my clicker. I think my clicker's disappeared. Is my clicker down there, Michelle? Okay, can you skip through for me? Is that all right? You click on three, cheers. My clicker's disappeared. And wherever it seems to be humans, there seems to be two things. There seems to be war that goes on. And I was just been thinking about it today, and I was thinking about reflecting on today, and I thought, what is underneath a lot of this conflict? And I came to a conclusion, there's two things. I'm going from the Bible as well. And that is, most war is driven by two things: envy and selfishness. Would you agree with me on that? I want what someone else has. And that's what seems to drive people. We look at just Putin's war. If anyone's into history, you can go back for years. We always have, like, there's no dwarves here, is there? Okay, no, my work here to do it. But we always, you know, with some YouTube videos, a lot of stuff going on, we discovered that Peter the Great, who Putin models himself on, he was the best dwarf thrower in the world. Isn't that really crazy? So I just had pictures of that was what Vladimir Putin wants to do in life, but that's me being a bit weird. And sometimes we look at all this going on around the world, and we see people like Putin, who tries to copy Peter the Great from many years ago. And all Peter the Great wanted to do was to copy what Europe had and be as grand as Europe. It was all out of selfish ambition and envy. And the passage we're going to look at today talks about these two things. So if you're following in your Bible, can you flick with me to James chapter 3, verses 13 to 16? This is what it says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show their good life by deeds, done by those in humility. Sorry, I've got to restart that. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, and do not boast about it or deny the truth, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practice. I find this passage really, really challenging, especially when I look at political leaders, when I look at business leaders, when I look at sports leaders, when I look at work leaders, and at church. Because I can see these things play out in so many people's lives. And I think there's something natural in every single one of us to want selfishness and envy. Isn't that right? Just bring up your children and your kids will always want to grab the biggest biscuit first, won't they? It's that selfish gene inside all of us. In our family, there's five of us, kids at home, and it got so bad that my one brother used to pull the scales out in the end to measure all of our puddings to make sure everyone got exactly the same, so no one can try and go for the bigger portion. Remember when I was 15 years old, there was something called Young Enterprise. And it was like this business thing that used to run in schools. And you're supposed to create your own businesses, raise shareholders, do designs, all this other stuff. And I remember in our year, there was a group that started up. And what happened after about 3 weeks? The one guy was really upset that he wasn't voted as leader. So he went to the teacher and said, do you mind if we set up another young business company? And the teacher went, this is brilliant. It looks really good having two young enterprises. So he set up a new company in our school. We're only 15 years old. We had to vote on who was leading it. And what happened a few weeks afterwards? Someone else wasn't very happy, okay, that they weren't leader. So they picked another group and started another group. 15 years old. Doesn't that feel like a lot of us now, okay? A lot of things that we see in the world. And even at a young age, we saw envy and selfish ambition. We didn't need to be taught how to do it. It was something that was really natural to ourselves. I know what me and my friends were like at 15. I know what friend people can be like now. And all of us can suffer. I think that's, is that the Holy Spirit, Marge, talking to your phone there to us? That's good. I'm joking, Dory. Just everyone look at Marge. Don't make her feel bad, okay? It's called joking. It's the worst thing is when you can't switch off your phone, can you? It's like, well, I want to go off, while I go off. But you know, as James is writing this letter, he is saying, you know what? We need to be real about what's going on in our lives. We need to be real about the envy and the selfishness that's there. You know, I'm sure most of you know, we're all very aware that we can be selfish, envious, and boastful. How many of us know people who go fishing and have always caught the piece of fish that was that big? Or the footballers who are playing football on Saturday and said, you know what? Oh my goodness, you should have seen that goal that I scored. And they start describing it and you're thinking, blinking, heck, I thought there's only 11 players on the pitch, not 15, the mark you went past. We all have this natural ability to be boastful, to share stuff. It's part of the human conditioning. But see, I don't think anyone ever wakes up in the morning and thinks to themselves, I want to be envious, I want to be self-centered, I want to be boastful, and I want to be a liar. Does anyone do that in the morning? No, good, thank goodness. You put your hand up, I'll be praying for you, so that's good. In fact, I don't think people realize this. I think it's something that just gradually creeps into our lives. A lot of us can suffer from a form of cognitive dissonance. For those of you who don't know what cognitive dissonance is, it's the feeling of discomfort when you have conflicting thoughts and beliefs and actions in our lives. It's like a mental tug of war that goes on inside of us. And to reduce the discomfort that we feel about areas of our life that aren't right, we sort of pretend it's not there. And we ignore it. All of us can suffer from this from times to times. And James here in this passage, he comes on and he describes envy and selfishness and boastfulness and lying as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It's really strong words, aren't they? There was a guy called Lieutenant Romeo Dallaire, and he's one of the first generals to go into Rwanda after the Rwandan genocide. And he was a really strong Christian. And someone said to him, you have seen the worst that you have ever, anyone has ever seen with genocides and stuff that's going on. They said, how can you believe in a God after what you've seen in Rwanda? And he turned around and he said these words. He says, I know that there is a God because in Rwanda, I shook hands with the devil and I have seen him. I have smelled him. I have touched him. I know the devil exists, and therefore I know God exists. It's quite a powerful statement, isn't it? He saw the results of envy and selfishness and ambition play out in an extreme way. And if you look at the origins of Satan, it was about envy and selfishness that caused him to rebel against God. He lost an incredible place in heaven because he wanted to be top dog. And I wonder sometimes if the leaders who start wars in the world, imagine if God had spoken to them when they were younger, before things got extreme, and they dealt with their envy and they dealt with their selfishness before they reached the top. What difference would it have made in their lives? I wonder how many lives could have been saved, how many lives wouldn't have been destroyed. Imagine if they hadn't followed earthly wisdom that we get drilled into us. You know the wisdom that says you need to be more and more successful, you need to be have the newest, you need to have the latest, you need to be a little bit better than the previous generation. The stuff that pushes us and that selfish stuff that's in our culture. Imagine if instead of looking to that, instead we try to deal with the selfishness and envy that is in our lives. You know, sometimes we want things our own way. If it's not our own way, we like to moan. How many have done that at work? Be honest. Have everyone ever done that? You know, me and Naomi always used to be, oh, when we're bosses, we would do this differently. Then you become the boss and you're like, oh my goodness. Okay. It's so much more complicated. I have more respect for Pastor Edwin and Pastor Williams than I've ever had before. Let's be real. We can always think that we can do a better job. You know, I'm a massive believer in stretching yourself to your maximum potential. But we also need to check our motives. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was the second, alive during the beginning of the Second World War. He was a pastor and a philosopher and a theologian. He said this, what may appear weak and trifling to us may appear great and glorious to God. But there's a difference between going for things because it's the right thing and going for things because of envy and selfishness. And God says here in the Bible, he says there's something different. There's a different way that we can live. And he describes it like this in verses 17 to 18 of James chapter 4. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, then considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and is sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You know, this is completely opposite to earthly wisdom. This is completely opposite to the idea that we're taught about survival of the fittest. It's completely opposite to the me-centered world that we seem to live in. And James encourages us that we can live for something greater and live for something better. It's flipping upside down the distorted worldview that a lot of our leaders have. You know, Jesus said this, didn't he? He said, but many who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. It's the upside down kingdom. Instead of envy, we have peace. Instead of righteousness, self-righteousness, we have consideration. Instead of promotion, we have submissiveness. Instead of nepotism, we have impartiality. Instead of lying, we have insincerity. And I would love to live in a world like that, wouldn't you? That's what we want to see. And gee, and it says here, this is different to the way the world teaches us, different to what people teach us. It's not about striving to get our own way, but it's striving to see the things of God play out on earth. I'm quoting Dietrich Bonhoeffer a lot at the moment because he's absolutely superb. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, human love breeds hothouse flowers. Spiritual love creates food that grows healthily in accord with God's will and the goodwill and the rain and the storm and the sunshine of God's outdoors. You know, I love fruit and vegetables, and I love growing fruit and veg. Any other fruit and veg growers out here? I'm rubbish at it, okay, but I love doing it. And I grew up in Herefordshire. When I came to England, I spent my teenage years in Herefordshire. Now, if you haven't been to Herefordshire, Herefordshire is all about fruit and vegetables, okay? The best fruit and vegetables happens in the world. A few years ago, Herefordshire really upset Vladimir Putin. Because for the first time in many years, the best vodka that was made in the world was from Herefordshire. Because they produced the best potatoes. I'm sorry for those of you Pentecostals and don't like the word vodka, but I have mentioned it, okay? But there's something amazing about when you get fresh fruit and vegetables. You know, when we grew up there, in England, you have the war, it runs in England, in Stoke-on-Trent here, you have War Fruit and Veg Farm, and everyone goes to war. Where we were, pick your own, you had about five or six pick your own farms within about a 5 mile drive, 5 miles of our house. We loved fruit and vegetables, it was amazing. And there's something amazing about tasting ripe fruit and veg that's been grown properly. Do you know what I'm talking about? not fake hot-housed vegetables. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's so much artificial stuff goes into food. My mum, in fact, became an organic farmer because she looked at her pig food one day and she saw all the ingredients that were going in there. And she went, I don't want to feed my pigs this. So she started went organic. But what they do now with tomatoes is they pick tomatoes early off the vine and they're green and they spray them with acid. And when you spray your tomatoes with acid, they go red. They're not ripe. They just go red. So you've all had that, haven't you? When you bought some tomatoes from the supermarket, they're rock hard, they taste horrible. It's because they've been forced to grow in an atmosphere they shouldn't be forced to grow in. And they've been sprayed with acid to make them look like something they're not. And sometimes that's what human love and human striving is. We can try our best not to have envy. We can try our best not to have selfishness. We can try our best not to boast, but when your team keeps winning the Rugby World Cup, you can't help it. But there's something better when God brings a change in your life, when it's heavenly wisdom and not your own wisdom. It's no longer fake. You know, sometimes we need to be very conscious in life that people can do good things, not because they're good people, but for other motives. You know, sometimes people think they're good, you think they're really amazing, but you know when you see behind the back, they're just trying to manipulate you into doing something different. Well, sometimes actually in life, we just be results of things. You know, sometimes we can have these attributes in our lives can come because of stuff that's happened in our lives. For example, if you grew up in a home that was full of anger and hatred and bitterness, you may want to become a peacemaker, not because you've been transformed by God, but because you're just trying to protect yourself. You might appear humble because you know that humility might get you further. So if you choose to act in a certain way, you'll get further in life. The problem is, if God isn't bringing about the real change in your life, I don't believe that fruit will last. And it's challenging for us. Because we have to trust God and rely on God. You know, the joy of Christianity is this, is that we can have heavenly wisdom in our lives. We can have peace. We can have be peacemakers. We can have that joy, that deep stuff that we want inside of us. And we can have it not because we strive and we're good enough, but because God has made us good enough. I don't know how you feel, but I don't like fake stuff very much at all. My kids are now at the age when they keep talking. My one daughter wants me to buy brands for everything, my older daughter. And she walks up and I said, oh, do you want to get the Shreddies out of the cupboard? She goes, you haven't got Shreddies, Dad. We got the Aldi knockoffs. Okay. The other day I went and said, can you get the Penguin bar out? What are you talking about? We got those Seal bars. They're not the same. Anyone knows how to bring up like preteens, please come and speak to me afterwards because it's a nightmare, isn't it? But she's got a point. You know, when someone gives me Lego, someone the other day, they gave me a box of Lego. They went, there's a box of Lego. I wanted to throw it back at them because I looked at it and it wasn't Lego. Okay, it was fake stuff. And if you've ever used the fake stuff, okay, trust me, you know the difference. Anyone else know what I'm talking about? Yeah. A few of you do. I hate it. I think don't desecrate it. Sometimes we settle for fake when God has something better for us. And I want to encourage us today, just to three things, just to come in and sum up tonight, about practical things we can do to receive God's heavenly wisdom in our lives and not our own earthly wisdom. Because you might try and strive as much as you can, but you might find that you think you're a failure because you can't quite achieve it. And I believe it's because you're not trusting God and not allowing God to bring the change in your life. The first thing is this. Stop striving and start seeking. Can we say that together? Stop striving and start seeking. You know, a lot of people, what do you call it? When they become Christians, they want to sort of, they want everything to be solved really, really quickly, okay? They want to come to church and have a quick prayer and everything is sorted. You know what I'm talking about? The McDonald's drive-through size people, okay? Christianity. And sometimes we have this view of Christianity. We want everything to be sorted really quickly. We say, God, I really want patience. Please, can you give me patience? And if there's a prayer opportunity after church, they come forward for prayer, for patience. And what happens? They go out, someone cuts them up, and they do stuff that's not very Christian to the other driver. But there's a problem with having a drive-through attitude to Christianity. It's this. Go and watch Super Size Me on Netflix. Anyone watch that program? It was about a guy who lived on McDonald's for a month. He had to give up after a few weeks because his body reacted so badly to all the food that he's putting in him. And although fast food feels really good, there's no substitute for good homegrown food that takes you a while to cook. Isn't that right? Yeah. And sometimes for us, we can want God to sort all the issues out in our lives by a quick prayer in church, when actually the answer is by spending time with Him. But you know the problem with spending time with Him is all of us are pretty busy, aren't we? But if we don't make time for Him, He's not going to bring around the transformation that we need in our lives. We need to listen to Him. We need to allow Him to speak to us. We need to read our Bible. We need to allow God to transform Him. Stop trying to become the perfect person in your own strength, but spend time with God and allow God to bring transformation in your life. Because, you know, as a pastor, I can be really busy. If anyone says they're really busy, just can I want you to come and compare notes with me and Naomi, okay, about our schedules at the moment? And I worked out how busy I was getting, and I decided this in my life. I had to make a decision earlier this year that however busy I am, God was going to get the first of my day every single day. And the first of my work in my life. Can I tell you this? Sometimes it's really annoying because some of you guys phone me when I'm in that time, okay? And I have to ignore the phone calls. Sometimes it's really challenging because I know all the stuff that I need to do. But I'm telling you this, the more time I give to God, the more transformation He does in my life. The more peace He gives me, the more strength He gives me. You need to spend time with Him. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Start spending time with Him and allowing God to bring the transformation in your life. The next thing you need to do is this. Don't live in denial. Say this to the person next to you. Don't live in denial. Okay. The original readers here, they thought they had their faith sorted. They thought we were good Christians. We're living it in a good way. And they were living their lives and, well, yes, like we're good Christians. And James is looking at them going, you guys, you're living in denial. You think you're so much better than you really are. It's funny because, you know, I love running. As I know, I don't talk about running very often, but I love running. But the amount of people that I speak to and they start telling me, oh, I would run, but my knee. I'm thinking, goodness sake, in our country, how bad, everyone's knees are really, really bad. It's the first thing people say to me. And there's some people I look at and I go, you've never run a day in your life to complain about your knees, okay, being bad. And my first response to them is this. Have you seen a physio? Oh, no, it's unsolvable. Have you seen a doctor about your knee? Oh, no. And some people, the reason they complain about their knee and they say their knee doesn't hurt is because the real reason why, and if you have got a genuine knee problem, I will pray for you afterwards. Okay, I respect you. I'm talking about all those pretending they've got knee problems. And what they really need to face up to is this. They don't want to exercise. And they hide behind that excuse. I could make another joke. Me and Kim were joking about something in the office this week, but I won't. Come speak to me afterwards. My wife will shout at me otherwise. Okay. But the reality is, sometimes we're in denial about stuff that's going on in our lives. We live with our blind side. And if anyone hits or shows us what our blind side is, we don't like it. And I want to encourage you, in your life, if you want to grow in the spiritual things, if you want to grow and not have envy in your life, and not have selfishness in life, be aware of your blind side. If anything else, go and speak to your spouse. They'd love to tell you what your blind spots are. The final thing is this. Allow God to give you heavenly wisdom. You know, God's a gentleman. If you want to God to do something in your life, you've got to allow Him to do it. But God's not going to do stuff in your life if you don't want Him to. You've got free will. You know, I've learned slowly that if I want God to give me wisdom, it starts with me surrendering to Him. That jealousy you're suffering, don't justify it. Surrender it to God. You know that forgiveness that you need to give people because you're still angry at them and you're feeling self-righteous? You need to say, God, I need you to help me forgive. You need to let God take that away. So often we justify the stuff that's in our lives. We justify the reason why things are there. You know, a few years ago, I remember I was getting a bit podgy. When Naomi was pregnant with Bethany, I thought I was pregnant as well. Okay, so I decided to match her with everything that she was eating. And she went through a phase where she was craving chips. Okay, McDonald's chips. You know this thing? I don't know if it was really craving it or not, but she just told me she wanted them. And we have a McDonald's near our house, so we kept driving through. So I'd order a couple of portions of McDonald's, a couple of big portions of fries. And she always told Naomi I ordered a medium portion of fries because there wasn't much when she got back to the house because I was eating them. And I remember they got to a stage when I was just kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. Do anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. And you kind of can't stop yourself a little bit. And my clothes were quite tight. And I tried to tell myself that the washing machine had shrunk everything, but it wasn't quite the truth. And then I decided, I said to Naomi, you know what I'm going to do? I said, Naomi, I need to face up to the fact that my brothers are fat and I'm going to be fat like my brothers. If my brothers are watching, you're not fat. No, no, no. I said, this is just the way my family's going to be. And me and my brother, we always teasing each other about losing weight. And so I decided then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put out my clothes and I'm just going to buy larger clothes because that's the way it's going to be. Then I reached a certain stage when Bethany was about 2 or 3. And I thought to myself this, if I continue to allow myself to put on weight, this is what I thought to myself, then how am I going to set the example in future when I tell her she's eating unhealthily? So what I decided at that moment was actually, Jim, you need to do something about it. And you need to actually do something. That's when I took up running. And actually, I found that I ended up losing weight. I still really struggle. You used to tell me you joke about me and I sort of no excuses to struggle. Genuinely suffered when I was younger. But I made the decision that I've got to stop making excuses and actually do something about it. And so I'm going to finish off now. And that's a challenge for us. That sometimes we need to stop making excuses for stuff that's in our lives. And we need to say, God, please, can you do something about it? God, please, can you do something about it? Please, can you help me? The amazing thing about Christianity is this, is when you allow God into your situation, He will help you and He will do most of the work. I'm going to quote Bonhoeffer again. He says, when things, and he talks about Christians, and he's talking about church here, actually. He says, when things don't go his way, the Christian's own way, he calls his efforts a failure. When his ideal picture is destroyed, he becomes an accuser of other Christians. He becomes the accuser of God. And finally, he becomes the accuser of himself. But when you allow God into your situation, He will bring about transformation. You know, the world may be driven by envy, by selfish ambition. But there is an alternative. A heavenly wisdom marked by humility, peace, and sincerity. Our lives might be marked by envy, by selfishness, by ambition, and by insecurity. But I really believe that as we approach God, when we stop denying and start surrendering, He will bring about the change that we want in our lives. I just want to finish with one story, and I promise to finish then, and we're going to pray. Remember a few years ago, it was social media was the one. I hate social media, but it's good. It's here to stay. I remember on Facebook, there was some stuff on, and you know, in your college, and different things are going on in life, and I didn't see myself as an envious person or a selfish person. And stuff just kept coming up, and it was one person in particular. God was really blessing them in their lives. And it was amazing to see actually what God was doing in their life. But every time I saw it, got me in the heart. And after a while, I went down, I thought, stupid idiot, you're just being boastful, putting that online all the time. And I said, I can't believe how big-headed that guy is. He always wants to share it online. And it came a moment. Actually, what I did in the end is I blocked them. Okay, I didn't tell them I blocked them, but I blocked them. And after a while, God said something to me. He said, Jim, why did you block him? I blocked him not because he was boasting. I blocked him because I was envious of what God was doing in their life. You know, that moment, I said, God, well, I'm sorry, I've been an idiot. I really have messed up, God. I'm sorry. I unblocked them and I prayed that God would bless them more than you could possibly imagine. And God did bless them. And I worked this out in my life. I thought I was okay, but I wasn't okay. For some of you, maybe today, you're not okay. Some of maybe you're looking at people around you and you're envious and your selfishness is grabbing and you thought I'm not an envious person. You thought I'm not a selfish person. But really, God might just be speaking today and saying, you're not a bad person. We don't hate you. But I want you to deal with that. Because if you deal with it, it's going to make you a happier person in the long run. When I did that, when I gave it to God, when I repented and I said, God, I'm really sorry about my attitude and the way I was trying to control you, God, and other things, God started blessing me in ways that I couldn't imagine because I dealt with what was going on there. Do you know the amazing thing is? He helped me deal with it. So I want to encourage you today. I just feel so strongly in my word today. I wasn't going to share this bit, but I just really feel, for some of you, maybe you've come in today and you're just justifying things at the moment. There's things that are going on and you just keep justifying. And God says, stop justifying why you're feeling this way. Give it to me. Let me take that envy and enviousness away from you. Can we stand together?